welcome to the Mug Meeting Summaries podcast. The second of our mini how-to topics at the October meeting featured Gilbert de Tillieu talking about Dropbox.
Okay, this presentation might be very short. I'm just going to ask for a show of hands. How many people here have heard of Dropbox? How many people use Dropbox? Oh, okay, so there are quite a few of you who don't. Okay, Dropbox is a really simple concept, but a really neat and flexible thing. If you go to their website, dropbox.com, they have a handy little video that shows you in a nutshell what the features are. And right on their homepage, there's a link for download Dropbox. It'll detect from your browser what platform you need to install for. And as it shows down there, it's free download for Windows, Mac, Linux, and mobile platforms. The Windows and the Mac download and install, I'm not going to go through. It's basically like just about any other Windows or Mac download and install procedure. It's dead trivial. The Linux one's a little more complicated, so I'm going to show you that in a second. First, I just wanted to show you a little bit about using Dropbox. Okay, so once it's installed, this is on a Mac here. You get this little Dropbox icon here, and if you hover over it, it gives you the version and the status, which right now is saying all files are up to date. So this ties in nicely with Michael's RTFM on rsync. Essentially, what Dropbox is kind of a GUI rsync, sort of. at least conceptually. Basically, what it lets you do is set up a Dropbox area on multiple systems of yours, and it will synchronize them all with a master copy that is kept on the Dropbox server. And so anytime you add stuff to your Dropbox, it gets synchronized up to their server, and anytime you connect with any of your other computers that also have Dropbox running, they will synchronize with that master copy as well. And it'll record additions, deletions, renames, anything you can do to the file system, basically. So, if you just open your Dropbox folder, you'll see it basically looks just like any other folder. And you can have folders and files underneath that. And they are indeed very much just like any other folder. In fact, let me just show you here. If I go to the command line, it's just another directory, okay? So you can browse it at the command line. You can browse it through the GUI. It works just like any other directory. The only difference is there's a little daemon that's running in the background that's monitoring that area for any changes you make, and then it's recording those or reflecting those changes back to the server.
Will it preserve permissions and metadata, like ownership?
That is a good question. I have not done enough with it from like Linux to Linux or Linux to Mac OS to know. I mostly go between Windows and the other platforms.
Kind
so
of irrelevant there.
Yeah. But that's a good question. That would be something to try. I won't have time to do it tonight, but I will try it, and I'll post an answer to the roundtable. Because that would be interesting to see. I don't know exactly how it's implemented on the server side in terms of what sort of metadata it records. As I said, it's basically just it's an area under your home directory, basically, when you're running in Linux or Mac OS. So it creates a folder that by default is called Dropbox, or a directory called Dropbox, and then you can just create subdirectories under there. I could be adding and deleting stuff right at the command line or through the Finder, and it doesn't matter. Any changes you make at the file system level are being monitored by this little Dropbox daemon, and it's then reflecting those changes on the server.
So it's essentially instantaneous?
As soon as you save something, it detects the change.
The transfers are certainly not instantaneous. It depends on where it's transferring the data to and the speed of your link, of course.
Right.
So when I'm doing this from home over my MTS DSL, it's pretty slow. When I'm doing it from work, it's That's much quicker. The other neat thing it has is a LAN transfer mode, where if you've got multiple computers on the same LAN running Dropbox, it will actually do peer-to-peer file copies between them. So it will synchronize between your different Dropboxes on the LAN at LAN speed. So that's a very handy feature.
Do you have to activate that?
I believe it's activated by default. You can go into the configuration and deactivate it if you don't want it, but I believe it's there by default. Yeah. Okay, so what I've been showing you basically up until now is just the stuff you can do right through the file system. There's also a Dropbox website, which I was pointed to it just before, but if you launch it through the little icon there, it takes you to this particular path underneath. And in this case, I'm already logged in here through the web interface. But this is a web interface to my Dropbox, and you can actually access the files and folders, and you can download them. So you can actually access this from a system where you don't have Dropbox installed by logging in through the web browser.
I think that shows the permissions that are not probably not. Because it's generic.
Yeah. Timestamps are, but I'm not sure about other metadata.
I do happen to know from personal instance that it does not work in a text mode browser.
Okay. I hadn't tried that. It's not links friendly then. Okay.
So if you click on a PDF, does the browser load the PDF for viewing, or will the PDF be loaded in from your machine?
Yeah, it's basically through your browser. So yeah, here it'll download it, and then
So certainly, this way you wouldn't be able to share permissions because HTTP doesn't have a clue.
Right. Mm-hmm.
It's going to be permissions of whatever the browser's running.
Anyway, through the web interface, there's other things you can do as well. Like you can go to this sharing tab, and you can set up sharing to other users. You can actually do that through the little GUI icon as well. So I've set up some stuff that I'm sharing with my brother, with a coworker, and some volunteer work I'm doing, I'm sharing with someone else.
Gilbert, you have provided credentials?
Yeah, basically, let me just show you how you would do that.
They have to be Dropbox already, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So it's Dropbox security.
So if I want to share an existing folder, for instance, let's say I want to do the mug folder, and I want to share it with Adam. So you can invite them, basically. And so would it be your usual address?
Sure.
Yeah.
20 M's.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So I could do something like that, and so that way when Adam gets that email, he'll know what it's about. And then we can then share that folder in the Dropbox. And so now Adam can, from his Dropbox, basically just pull out any of these things, make changes, put them back in there, and I will get the changed versions instantly. So
you go to this page on another on a machine, just through the web. How do you authenticate? Do you have a password?
Yeah. There's a logout up here, and if I weren't logged in, then I would go to a login page, and then you authenticate, and there's a password.
Is sharing read write or read only?
Pardon me?
Is sharing read write or read only?
The way I've set it up now, it would be read write. You can share particular files, I believe, in a read only mode. But normally, when you're sharing a folder with one individual, it's read write.
How does sync work? Do you both
it'll take whichever one?
Yep.
But
yep.
It's
but it version.
That's right. Yeah.
So you can pull your version out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you can back up too.
Yep. Yeah. So that's another slick feature. It's got automatic version control built into it. Yeah.
See the really scary button that says "Show deleted files."
Yeah.
Because at what point do they actually delete them? That's my question. Is if they have that, is there any sense that when I hit delete, they actually are gone?
No.
They'll delete when you hit your storage limit based on old file.
Great. Yeah.
I think. Okay. Don't quote me. That's
what. And that's what, like 10 gigs or something like that.
Three on the basic.
Three.
Okay. Either way, way more than the.
Two. Yeah.
Two or three.
Great.
Once they clear it out, just upload a D.
I know that I'm going to explain that in a second. One of the ways you can earn extra storage, like it starts you off with 2 gigs of free storage.
Digital Ponzi, great!
And here's their business plan. It's kind of like crack, where you know the first one's free. They give you the 2 gigs free, and then you can upgrade for a fee per month if you want lots of storage. But you can also get these small increments of extra storage, a quarter gig at a time, for referring people. And the neat thing is, when you refer someone, both the referrer and the referee get the quarter gig increase.
So if you control your own domain name and therefore can create 1,000 emails...
Well, it only works for the initial sign-up, of course. But then, you know, it's... They tell two friends and so on, so, yeah. So, yeah, that it is like a pyramid scheme in that regard.
Do you lose it if the other guy cancels his account?
I don't think so. Once you have it, you have it.
So if you use several email addresses, can you...
Yeah.
And you don't get it when they sign up. They have to actually install the daemon on their machine.
Anyway, you can also manage your account here, and it shows you the space you're using. So regular files. This is shared files over here, which is, of course, most of what I'm using it for. And this seems to indicate that I've got lots of space left. I'm only using 11.5%. And I've done lots of additions and deletions. So if it is keeping those files I've deleted... it's not charging me for it anyway.
Be the changes.
It could be, yeah. I haven't looked that closely at how my space usage compares to what I've actually got under the folders that I'm currently maintaining. So I don't know if part of this is actually for the changes for files that I've deleted. But I've put a lot of large files for temporary use and then deleted them. It's my space usage has not gone up, you know, correspondingly. So anyway, you can do things here under your account information. You can see the computers you've got connected under your account, and I've got several. Because I've done installs more than once, and you can see there's other versions. And so, yeah, I could go and unlink the old ones, because it basically just keeps the information otherwise. So also, if you've invited other people, you can check what the referral status is, and you can see there are a few people that I've invited, but they haven't done anything about it, and others have completed it.
Yeah, that's how you're doing it.
Sorry?
Inviting yourself?
You've just been inviting yourself.
No.
With aliases.
No, this is my brother, actually.
Yeah.
This is me, this is my brother, this is my mother-in-law, this is my wife.
Yeah. I saw the similar names, so I was kind of cool.
No, it's...
But yes, you could do that yourself quite easily.
Okay.
Yeah. So anyway, that's basically what the web interface to it looks like. Now, I just wanted to show you quickly what the install would look like under Linux. Okay, so I've got a nice tiny VNC session here, which is unfortunately doing weird things on the graphics, but whatever. It's still readable, mostly.
JPEG compression cap.
Yeah.
Well, bossy compression.
Bossy compression, yeah, exactly. So, basically, with I've got the Dropbox site already loaded in the browser here, and if I just download, it's going to detect that I'm on a Linux system, and as I said, it's not quite as easy for Linux, although it's pretty easy. They have precompiled binaries for Ubuntu. It's a .deb file for both 64-bit and 32-bit. And likewise for Fedora, 64-bit and 32-bit. And you could also get a source tarball that you would compile your own if you're not on one of these platforms. And they actually give instructions on how you would use it on the command line. And basically they say when you install this thing, it's going to install a plugin for the Nautilus file manager. It's going to add Dropbox to your default repository for automatic upgrades and downloads and installs the Dropbox binary. That third part is actually done separately, as you'll see in a second. It's not done as part of the initial install. That third part, unfortunately, is done on a per-user basis. And I've noticed that with Dropbox on the other platforms, too. It installs all the stuff for the local user. There doesn't seem to be a way of sharing the code among all users. It's each one gets a copy of the code in their own home directory. Here's the system requirements. Somewhere here, I don't know if they mention it. I think it's in one of the FAQs. They mention that you also need Python 2.6. So if you're running on an older system like CentOS 5, it's a lot of work to install it. I did manage to get it working, sort of. The command line stuff works nicely, but I had to install Python 2.6 because it doesn't work with the 2.4.
Is that just for the install scripts, or is the client doesn't work?
That's right, yeah. Okay. Yeah. For the Linux version, I don't know about the other platforms, but certainly for the Linux client, there's parts of it that are written in Python.
Okay.
And they're relying on features that are in Python.
It's not just the installer, then it's actually the client.
That's right, yeah. Okay, so basically, I'm on an x86 system. This is actually the box I'm VNC'd to here is Scientific Linux 6 system. So I'm going to use the Fedora x86 thing. And this should work fine with one small change. Okay, so it doesn't actually. That's the neat thing.
Small static, yeah. You know, I need to avoid that. But like Jennifer said, that's all that resolution package for the binary.
So I guess we didn't see all of the screen updates because we're doing this over VNC. But at this point, it should actually be installed. But what I've installed actually right now is just the Nautilus stuff. But that does include a Dropbox command. And if I run that command, it basically tells me the usage. So I can do things like Dropbox status. Okay, it says it isn't running. So I can do start. Oops. Get on the right row here. And it says, okay, the daemon isn't installed. And that's what I was saying. There's this Nautilus widget is basically what we've installed with the package plus a Dropbox command. But the per-user daemon doesn't get installed until you do this. Yes. This is actually going to download and install some Python code under the current user's home directory. It'll be in a .dropbox hyphen something directory. I can't remember the path.
No, there's your invite.
Okay. All right. And so once the daemon is started, it basically takes you through this little GUI setup here. And if you don't have a Dropbox account yet, this is where you would basically sign up for one. You can do it right through this GUI. But I already have it, so I'm just going to select that. And this is where I type in the information. Oops. My shift isn't working.
Keyboards.
Sorry?
Sorry, keyboards.
Keyboards.
Well, there's a wrench on that.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, that's going to be a bit of a problem. If I can.
Copy it from the terminal over there.
Copy it from, yeah.
The terminal on
perfect.
That.
Perfect.
So, you have to right-click, no turn.
Middle-click.
Or whatever it is.
Middle-click. Oh, okay. Middle-click?
No, middle-click in the...
Oh, that's paste.
The paste box.
Yeah, okay. It's selected. Right. So at this point here, I should be able to just go Control-V.
No, middle-click.
Middle-click.
Yeah.
Is there no, unless, of course, the Dropbox is in honoring X, cut and paste, which sometimes happens.
To invalid care.
You ever know the Unicode?
Alt, whatever?
Oh, actually, 127. What's the code for?
No.
Wouldn't you need American? 00. F0.
And I tested all of this afternoon, but I was using VNC on a different platform. Oh, what a pain.
That's Mac.
Alphabetic errors.
Actually, on the terminal, isn't there a copy command, and you can use the paste, like a Control-V.
Yeah.
I have the edit menu there. Maybe.
What happens when you guys click it?
I don't think the Dropbox window will support.
Oh, no, no, no.
It's not there.
That's your Mac.
Regardless.
Lower, yeah.
There you go.
Yeah, well, this is for my VNC, right?
Yeah.
I was trying to paste.
Paste as keystrokes, try that.
Paste as keystrokes.
Of course, you got it.
You better not have any special characters in your password.
No.
And there is a classic do not special characters.
Yeah. Long password.
And so, basically, your question about authentication, anytime you want to use Dropbox, you have to authenticate. So every client authenticates as well. So... And as I was saying, you get the first 2 gigs free, and you can also get increases in quota, like significant increases, but for a fairly substantial price.
Typical cloud rate.
Okay. And then here it takes you through just this little tour that explains how you use Dropbox. You can skip it or you can go through it. It's just a few screens. And it basically tells you the features, and a lot of this is stuff I already talked about. And the notification area icon is what I was talking about there. Now we're going to get one. Oh, in fact, there it is right up there. And it says starting. Yeah. Okay. And, of course, under Windows, that would appear in your system tray, so it would be down at the bottom. And share folders with people you know. So that's basically it. So here it shows link to Dropbox. Oh,
hey,
yeah.
This
little thing.
Oh,
yeah, so there is the stuff.
Yeah, actually.
And well, as you can see, it's still transferring, right? So the mug folder where I had put some stuff in there for Adam, it's not here yet. But if I check here, it says we've got 2 minutes left.
That's pretty. What other machine at your office do you have running on right now?
My Windows desktop and another Linux box. Actually, a Linux box that's running CentOS 5.
What it just told us is it's downloading it peer-to-peer.
Which is why it happens so fast. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, Windows files.
Sure, there it is.
Terms.
Yep.
Does the Dropbox service have any upload-download limits? Or do you just pay $10 a month for 50 gig? And
yeah, you're paying just for storage.
Not for transfer.
Not for transfer.
Okay.
You may end up with overage fees on your ISP, depending on how much stuff you're transferring, but yeah, they don't seem to care how much you transfer. They're only concerned about how much you're storing on their server. That's basically all there is to it. And I can go back to the command line here, of course, and commands that I'd run before, like Dropbox status. Okay, it shows that there is still some stuff transferring, and you can see there's this little spinning wheel of arrows there, which is showing that. So I'm basically just getting that status updated here from the command line as well.
Try it with wait. Watch.
You can try it with watch.
Oh. See the seconds, right?
I heard that one of the ways they keep their storage costs down is their back end single instance storage, and for the uploading as well. The client hashes the file, pairs the files they have stored, the database hashes, and if they already have it, they don't load it again.
Okay.
So there's some sort of litigation risks, because if you're making copy of your MP3s, they can peanut, can tell by the hashes you have, or these people with this and file hash.
That's why the good Lord made zip with him.
So yeah, if you encrypt for you upload.
Right.
Which you ought to do, because you're handing over your files to somebody in the United States, so encrypt first. unless the content's, like most of my stuff, was really boring and I know these things.
Well, like Rob said, I mean, if you can't know that your file's been deleted, like actually deleted, there's no assurance of that. Dropbox has now, they're officially on record as saying that, yes, your data is encrypted, but they have the encryption keys.
So that
means that really for whoever happens to be walking past the wrong person's unlocked keyboard, it's not encrypted at all.
Well, they have a security thing a while back that you can see other people's files.
Briefly.
They were differently encrypted.
Yeah, there's
so you could get the file, but then you have to roll up your sleeves to try and straighten it out.
Yeah, there's ways they could improve the service, and apparently unofficially the engineering team is looking at doing so, but like now they're going to encrypt 512 byte chunks of your file or 1K chunks of your file independently, so that it's still encrypted, but they can still do a sort of single instance storage-ish, mm-hmm.
which actually would improve their storage ratios because now they can take advantage of commonality in files. But that's not implemented yet.
Well, I mean, where's your money stream? Because the vast majority of their users in the US are going to stick with gigs just because it's a pain in the rear emailing 200 meg files. It's a lot easier to Dropbox to send the person by.
Yep. Yeah. I figure their revenue stream's got to be from Patriot Act requests.
You don't get paid for those, though.
You don't have to invite either. You put it in the symbol.
Yeah. My understanding was their business model was based on, you know, getting you hooked and then selling you extra capacity. Yeah. Anyway, one more thing I wanted to mention about the Linux install. Because I did this downloading an RPM that was meant for a Fedora system, one of the things that gets installed is this Dropbox repo here for Yum. And it uses that little release ver thing. But, of course, on my system, which is Scientific Linux 6, the release ver is not what it's expecting. So if I were to do yum check update, I get an error here because it's saying that it doesn't have a Dropbox.com Fedora /6.0 version. So it's expecting version numbers like 12, 13, 14, like the current Fedora numbers. So if you wanted to have the updates for this to work properly, you would have to go into Dropbox.repo and change this to hard code, probably like 13, which is Fedora 13 is roughly where the transition was made for Red Hat Enterprise 6. So that's what I had done previously, is I would just use 13 as the hard-coded release number, and then this works. Any other questions?
Yeah, is there also an option to add other directories outside of the Dropbox folder to synchronize well? Because I think I had heard of some people using it to sync config files.
Symlink it or something. Put a symlink in your Dropbox.
Yeah, I think you would have to have it within the Dropbox. One of the things you can do like I just did sort of the typical install, but there's a custom install where you can specify extra things, including the path that you're going to be synchronizing. And normally it's /Dropbox, but you can have it synchronize a different path. So presumably you could do like /etc. or something like that, and that's maybe what people have been doing.
Slash. What happens when it gets slash?
Doesn't consume valuable fruit.
You're concerned about having stuff on their server. Is there a way that you can be sure that it's going to do peer-to-peer? Like, will it just? Are you confident it will do that if you're on the same LAN?
Well, it'll do peer-to-peer, but it's also going to synchronize with their master server. Yeah, the peer-to-peer function is really only to get your clients on the LAN synchronized with each other much quicker, and it saves having to do, you know, uploads and then downloads of the same data. So it's kind of optimizing the data transfers to and from the Dropbox site. But it's still synchronizing with the Dropbox site.
What happened if you put in a file with a server, but LAN? Theoretically, it should be numbers. I've never gone over.
That's a good question. I haven't tried that either, so I don't know what happened.
Thinking back when there was a messages that says, sorry, could not sync X.
Possibly the Dropbox daemon detects that even before it starts sending it, and it won't send it even to peers. I'm not sure.
What happens if you shut down your machine or put your machine to sleep while it's still synchronizing? Will it recover gracefully when you come back?
Presumably it will. I haven't actually tried that. I mean, there's always, you know, the risk that, okay, you had some updates here, and you shut the machine down, put it to sleep, whatever. You start doing updates somewhere else, you might end up with a collision where, you know, the same file has been changed from two sources. What's going to take precedence? It should be the most recent change, but does it mean it's going to preserve the previous version properly? I don't know. I don't know how that works.
You want to try that. Your mileage may vary.
Yeah. Yes?
I have it running on my Android device, but it worked quite well.
But I think I configured it, or maybe it just works that way, that it doesn't keep in sync all the time automatically. You have to manually.
Oh, okay.
So that, you could look at the Dropbox folder on both machines.
Right.
And they could be different. Then you have to go actually into Dropbox itself on the Android machine.
And force it to synchronize.
Force the sync.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
Maybe because Android's smaller machines normally, and 50 gigs would not.
I wouldn't want to do live updates on my, especially if you've got a data plan or something.
You don't necessarily want it synchronizing when you're on cellular.
You want to have hard enough time when you're in Europe. Single battery charge.
Yeah.
Well, you can set your Android device to only do data on Wi-Fi.
Then
you can turn on the data when you want to do it to make sure humans off.
But it's really handy for the. You're not really.
Yeah, and like for this version, as long as this thing's running, it's going to always synchronize. It's, I guess, periodically checking with the Dropbox site. But you can always quit this here, and you still got your Dropbox folder. But it's not synchronizing things anymore, so you
could. I've had it where on the desk it is, and I've been sent by stock mail. Like I say, it's folding.
Don't share that space between your Linux and your desktop. It's actually very entertaining, because you'll have two demons both trying to synchronize the same file that you just wrote.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
They probably would not be smart enough to realize they're both syncing the same file and collide one end or the other. Although I guess whoever pulls first is going to get it, synchronize it, and everyone else is going to know it's done. So what can you tell us about the security issue they had a while back?
I wasn't even aware of it until it was mentioned just earlier here.
Yeah, I vaguely thought that somewhere when you logged in you could see other people's spaces.
Mm-hmm. So apparently it only for a couple of them.
A couple of hours, where somebody else would download the shit.
Yeah, well,
the thing is your demon's not going to see it.
Are broken for days before anybody does it. Yeah.
Your built-in demon's not going to see it. It's when you log into the website, you're suddenly going to go, oh, you can see other stuff.
Okay, are there any other questions? Okay, that's all I had.
That's it for this podcast. Thanks for listening. For more Mug Meetings summaries or for more information about the Manitoba Unix User Group, check out our website at muug.mb.ca.